the it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now's the time to get 2 for $3.99. Mix and match a 4-piece McNuggets, a McDouble, a McChicken, or a hot and spicy McChicken. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.
Where are the dogs?
Okay, first of all,
that's the first thing I want to know.
Last time Giannis was here, there was a full-on Michael Vick would have been proud of the dog fight level.
You say problem, I go, where are the dogs?
I just basically took, this is root spray.
Oh, I see.
And I'm essentially in blackface right now.
I like it, yeah.
So I tried to get
Might as well finish it.
I just got this brown root spray. I'm really pushing it. Okay. Sorry. I'm just trying to get, because like I have these hair extensions in now. And when I put my hair up, you can kind of see my scalp and it kind of has got some chemo energy. So I've used this to spray. Hold on.
Yeah. It just looks like you have a strong hairline now.
But look, now it looks like Hold on. Hold on. Got it. Hold on. Now I just look like.
Can I tag on your head?
Coal miner.
Looks like you're, yeah, graffiti.
There we go. Okay. Can you see it right there, though?
Yeah. I think on camera it won't pick up.
Yeah. Okay.
Girls got to go through so much.
What?
I never have to spray my head.
I have to be honest with you. I feel like guys in there, you have a good hairline, though.
Luckily.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
Is it genetic?
Yeah, I didn't choose it. Yeah, I think so.
Because I feel like guys with the receding hairline thing, I feel like women's insecurities are like the things we're socially constructed that are whatever. There's probably a biological basis too for what makes us attractive. At least those things we can kind of control, right?
Is it okay if I kill this bug or is that one of your pets? I just don't know.
That's my head lice. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
What is an ant?
Yeah.
Kill this ant. He's just lost.
You got a Christmas collar on?
Yeah.
Hold on. Come here, bud. Here, let's just give him a little thing. Here, bud. Here, just give him a lollipop.
Buddy, you got a new home now.
Here you go, bud.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Just give him a little lollipop. Yeah. I know. I have a little bit of an ant problem in the house, and it's getting out of control, but where else are they going to go? I mean, they need somewhere to go.
Yeah. I mean, they smell the food, and they come in.
I've started putting apple butter outside in a bowl, so they just have a place to go.
I feel like when you get to a point where you have like more than 3 or 4 animals in your house and one of them's a pig,
yeah,
that there's going to be the ants are going to be like, I think there's like food around.
Yeah.
Like, there he is. Look, he's a nice little
ant. I think ants are, look at that. Aren't they cool? And the way that they can communicate with each other and get in line is fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get rid of them because I love seeing.
I figured as much.
The only downside to seeing an ant is that for 5 days in your head is, she wakes up in the morning. You don't remember that song? Bing.
No.
Bing, bing,
do you
bing.
Know it?
Dave Matthews?
Oh, I only know Satellite.
In my eyes.
That's the only like one.
That was your hump song.
Satellite.
In my eyes.
That was college for me. I'm giving myself away. But
that's
that was
a little
college.
Bit of a bummer because I think there's a hike up your skirt a little more.
Oh, that was a good one too.
There's like a little girl.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple songs. There's like the
he's like a real white college act.
Everyone that was going to see him when I was going to see him, we had the white yarn braided bracelet.
Yeah.
And the shell necklace.
Yeah. He's a real Virginia kind of.
Yep. It was like sort of Grateful Dead, Virginia Beach, preppy, but yeah.
Yeah.
I love Dave Matthews Band.
Dave Matthews Band is great.
Speaking of a bad hairline, he struggled.
He does.
He had that baby bird hairline.
He did have that. You got to just shave it down.
That's it. So when
you don't want to get like the little Epstein Island thing.
What are your options in terms of if a guy's hair starts receding? What are your options as a man? Because as a woman, if you're too short, you can wear heels. If you don't like your calves, if you don't have good hair, you can get extensions. If you don't like your eyelashes, you can put them on. What I will say is, as much as you were saying earlier, it sucks being a girl. Usually, it's socially acceptable for us to glue the thing on that we need.
You guys really do walk around like you're at intermission of a play.
No, we literally can just Mr. Potato Head anything to our face and no one asks any questions.
Have you seen those videos now where like the woman looks like a really different way? I'm trying to be very nice about it.
Like contouring their face?
And then like they show like the before and afters. It's like a big thing on TikTok now where like they take out their teeth and then they have no teeth. There's one girl who has no teeth.
Okay.
She puts a teeth in.
I bet she kills on OnlyFans.
Yeah. I mean, she's not a traditionally attractive woman. I'll say it that way. And then she puts the makeup on and she's like stunning.
It is
shocking. Women can do that.
It is shocking to me. There is a fine line between blackface and contouring, because when you contouring is when you see girls will basically draw these like brown zebra stripes on their white skin and then blend it, and then they just have completely different features.
Right.
Completely different face. Like Lucille Ball apparently used to take a magic marker and just draw her jawline.
Wow.
And because of the way the lighting was in the black and white, it made it look like she had like a snatch.
So it was like archaic contouring.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's like the CD
clown makeup.
Yeah.
But anything that we are lacking, usually we can just Elmer's glue, rubber cement that shit, and no one asks any questions.
I feel like if a woman has nice eyes, it doesn't matter.
Femininity's
all here. Like,
is
you,
it?
Even in like animals, you can tell like a female animal. They just have like a, it's like femininity's in eyes.
Huh, that lashes and
yeah, there's like masculine eyes and feminine eyes, don't you think?
Yes.
I don't know if it's even just, it's the lashes are part of it, but there is like some femininity locked in the eyes.
I like that too. Let me ask you though.
This or in my case, I.
This is what. This is one of my favorite things to ask men. What is the thing called that women put along their eyelash line?
How would you think that there's like a 0% chance I can answer that?
A
baseball? I have no. A tiger?
No, when a girl has a little tool, a cosmetic tool, yeah. I just want to know how hard you've tried to go out of your way to not learn the things in your wife's bathroom that she uses every day. It's right in front of you, and you've actively gone, I don't want to learn about that. I know everything about Hitler, but I don't want to know anything about
it's true,
what
yeah.
my wife has in her purse right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and I don't know everything about Hitler because I'm like following it.
You probably knew how he filled
reasons.
In his mustache,
right.
but now how she fills in her eyebrows.
Right.
So
right.
what is this
is
tool?
Funny, yeah.
Here to here. Eyelid.
An eyelash brush? That's a good guess, though. If this was Family Feud, I'm going survey says two people said that.
Okay. So it's a thing that goes along the eyelash line.
A sneaker?
David Spade said Sharpie.
Sharpie.
So I just love, okay, eyelash line. Eyeliner.
Eyeliner brush.
Have you heard of eyeliner?
I know eyeliner.
It's just called eyeliner.
It's called eyeliner.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then what about
now,
the
Now, if I came in here and nailed it, would you be like, I think he's hiding the fact that he's a gay guy. If I came in here, I was like, eyeliner, brush.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
I just love, there's so few straight guys in LA that are really straight. I just love talking to them. It's like an extinct species. Okay. So the thing that, what goes on this part of the eye?
Blush. No? What? Eye makeup.
Eyeshadow.
Yes. But I thought that goes underneath.
You're like, I thought that was a bruise.
Yeah, I thought that's what, it's what you put over when you discipline your wife, she puts it over it. That's, you know.
And then what about the, here, on the cheeks? What goes there?
Okay, that is.
A backhand?
Yeah, fist. that is called, that's blush.
That's blush. Yes.
That's
a lot
blush.
Of times guys say rouge.
Rouge.
Which is hilarious because that's like old school. Like one time I was talking to David Spade about this girl that he was dating. He went to a girl's place, this was ages ago, but she came out and he's like, she came out on our second date in a teddy.
That for
you
him.
You don't even know how fun. A teddy is like what... It's like calling a woman that's an assistant a secretary today.
Right.
It's just like, it's like calling a car like an automobile, like right. a Model T. It's
so
like,
it was an old guy saying
yeah,
that.
It's
yeah.
like a lingerie that's got like fur on it that's ridiculous. It's like what Peggy Bundy wore.
Right.
When they got robbed in the middle of the night and she would come down the stairs. Right. right. It's called a teddy.
There are no teddies anymore.
See, I like people right now, the big things are do we say him or her or gender non-conforming? Or I'm into teddy versus bra. I like, these are the kind of terms I'm fascinated
by. Do you do
by.
Teddy? Do you do, how do you sleep?
I sleep in a full suit, like an Annie Hall. I have a full blazer on when
you're
I sleep.
You're ready at all times.
Oh my God, I have a,
You never know when you're gonna give a political speech.
Okay, so talk for a second, because I have a present for you.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah. So could you want me to interview the aunt?
Or no, just...
Where'd he go?
But I'm literally
one. Yeah, just find me one, dog. Or just pull me out another dog from one of the rooms. I'm sure they're in there. Or a chicken. Hey, aunt, you forgot your lollipop. And your eco-friendly water. Oh, here he is. So, what's it like not to know where your boys are? Here's the deal, what we're going to do. Don't tell her. Don't tell her.
Oh, murder in
yeah,
the podcast.
We're just going to tell her that the aunt disappeared. I can't find the aunt.
What happened? You killed the aunt?
I did not. I would never do such a thing.
Okay, so you have the dubious honor of being someone I call a real friend.
Yeah.
Whether
you're smart,
like it or
you
not.
Got a good vocabulary.
Huh.
You do.
Just now?
Yeah, dubious. It's just like in conversation, that just shows like, you know.
Okay.
I'm, you know,
the
I got
bar
some.
Is low over here with comedians
it
and podcasters.
It is very low, yeah.
I'll say things. I'll be like, I was kind of nefarious. People are like, okay, $2 word much. Like, okay. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't, people in this space always say I'm smart. And I'm like, if that's what it took to make you think I'm smart.
The bar is low.
The
yeah.
bar is very low.
Yeah, so, but it's low because a lot of our colleagues are like community college dropouts, drug addicts, and
yes,
freaks.
And just, I mean, the only big word they know at this point is fentanyl.
Fentanyl, right, yeah.
Okay, so when I am friends with someone that I really love, I get gifts for them just if I see something that reminds me of them. And sometimes I try to save it for a holiday, but sometimes I can't.
Now you make me feel bad, though, about not getting you a gift. And I came to your place. I should have brought, like, scones or dog biscuits.
No, that would have felt... No, I don't That's like the... that. I don't like the keeping score
okay.
in relationship. Like, I don't think that the gift giving has to be congruous. Pretty good word. My thing is I never expect anything back. I don't like that scorekeeping stuff. I genuinely just makes me happy to buy things when I think of people. So I got this for you at a vintage store called Starstruck Vintage when I was in Nashville doing the whatever TPAC thing.
This is so nice of you.
It's
now is this
Yanni.
A regifted thing? Oh wow, you did think about
Yanni.
Me. Wow,
it's Yanni. The isn't that the musician?
Yeah.
Yanni.
Yeah,
it made me so happy.
It is.
You don't have to wear it just because I was like, oh, he'll just wear it to bed. It's
no,
like a stupid sleep shirt.
Yeah, this is great.
So for me, I will sleep.
I love a shirt from a thrift store.
I mean, that is like a $95 shirt.
Yes, this is a vintage.
Oddly, that I
thank
think that,
you very much.
Because
I
love, well, every city I go to, I always go to thrift stores in the area because yeah. I love getting just because one of my favorite things to do is get all of the Redskins shirts, the yeah. vintage Redskins shirts that no one else is going to buy now that it's over. But
right.
because I used to always go to Redskins games when I was a
because
kid.
You're upset that they changed the name.
And I'm just furious.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of heartbreaking because I know I made a whole pilot for Amazon. It was with Lee Daniels, Lisa Kudrow, about. It didn't end up getting made for a litany of reasons, but it was about a college campus in Sacramento where the team was called the Chiefs, and it was about how they were going to change it over, like how bad it was that that's what it was called, how racist it was, and the actual sort of granular logistics of how you would change something over like that,
right,
because
right.
it's a big deal. I mean, right. I knew Dan Schneider, like I know him a little bit, and when there was pressure being put on to change the name of the Redskins, it was like, yeah, this is such a no-brainer. Why is this... even yeah. gone this far. This is wild, but there's just like so much money in it.
Yeah,
and
merch,
gotta,
everything.
Yeah, just
yeah.
sort of like, why is this such a difficult decision?
Yeah.
But anyway, all
why
of-
Why did they change it to something like that has something more to do with DC? Like the inciting trading congressmen or the lobbyists?
This is actually something that is so embarrassing, which is like, I think as comics, we're not the people that should tell you how to vote or how to live your life, but sometimes we... are like I kind of got into comedy because the things that I said seriously made people laugh and I wasn't joking.
Right.
Like I pitch, I sometimes you have to be really dumb to think of something really smart by accident.
Yeah.
And like, I remember there's this guy, Chuck Sklar, writer, who ran Everyone Hates Chris.
Yeah.
Remember that show?
Yeah.
Great show about Chris Rock as a kid. And they had to stop doing the show, even though it was a huge hit, because the kid was growing up. And I dead serious. It was like right before I'd started doing stand-up. I was like, oh, well, why don't you just make everything on the set really big? Like a big mug, like big, you know, like just like a big chair, just so he still looks like a kid. And he started laughing, and I was like, that wasn't a joke. Like, I was dead serious. But yeah, then with the Redskins thing, it's so expensive to change the name that it was like, if you can even keep part of the word, it would be cheaper. Yeah. So I'm like, just call them the Foreskins and you don't have to change the skins part. And it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
so he thought it was a joke and you were serious.
I'm usually when people think I'm joking, I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
So
those are good. That's a good, that's a very, that's a fortunate thing when you say something that stupid and some people do, and you go, yeah, I was.
And you're like, yeah, it was a total joke. Yeah, oh my God, crazy. Like, but okay, back to this. Okay, what goes on here on the lips? Cum?
It's close to the mouth. I mean, here, look, I told you I didn't kill him. There he is.
You're like, what goes here? Duct tape.
Duct tape.
Two fingers for a fish hook.
So above the lip? You're doing
just like on the lip here.
Lipstick.
Lip liner.
Lip liner. Okay.
And then on top is lipstick.
Lipstick goes on top of the lip liner?
Did your mom hang with you much? Or?
No, my mother was, she would sign the cards, dearest mother. Love, dearest mother.
Oh, no.
Sincerely. She would go love.
Yeah, mom.
Best mom. She was like that. With regards, Dr. Anna Mamalakis Pappas. And she was like a lawyer. She wasn't a real doctor, but she loved the doctor.
What do you mean? Oh, she had a doctorate, in law?
In law, yeah.
What kind of law?
She was a human rights lawyer, my mother.
Fascinating.
So we grew up like with, UNICEF posters. And on Halloween, I had to go around and get the quarters and the cardboard little thing.
So let me ask you a question. What are the basic human rights every human should be entitled to? This is a serious question. I'm dead serious. I'm actually dead serious. I don't think I know the answer.
You're asking.
I just don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Right to party number one.
I'm just curious. What are the basic human rights? Because it's like, shouldn't it be like water, clean air, and to have a podcast?
To have a podcast, number one. To be able to have the ability to have a podcast. Yeah, I think you should. I think the inalienable rights is a good start.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness.
Sure.
Yeah, freedom from oppression. You should be free to.
But like, define oppression. I know a lot of women that think they're oppressed when a guy hugs them too long.
Well, my mother said the real challenge to international law is culture, which is, that's the thing. And you can't, that's the thing. That's what makes it tough. And then if you try to criticize someone's culture, they go, you're being ethnocentric. That's our culture. This is what we do. But some cultures, you know, because of their religion or whatever, some would say that's a violation of human rights. And,
sure. You know, so that means, is that, so not...
kids shouldn't work when they're like three. My mother was, was head of this ad hoc United Nations project called UNITAR, which was about the international rights of children. So she headed that up. So that was her area, was children. She was always concerned about children. Like, she was, there was so many times, and this was like 80s New York, when it was like, where like there'd be somebody hitting their kids in public, and my mother would like turn into like a lion and she'd scream at them, and it would be like this huge woman, and I'd just be sitting there, seven, being like, oh my God, I just wanted to disappear. But that's who
fascinating.
She was.
Yeah. I love that. I'm like that, I think, with animals in public. When people are abusing their animals in public, I lose my mind.
Yeah.
And if you leave a hot dog in a car, I've got a hammer in my car at all times. Like, the kid thing is the kid. Well, it's like a thing. It's one side.
You're prepared. Yeah.
It's not like the mini hammer the doctors used to
Right.
Hit your knee
you
with.
You just have a hammer.
It's a glass. Yeah. It's one side of it is a glass cutter, and the other side is like a really sharp sort of hammer. So yeah. You can just like smash someone's window. It's yeah. specifically for that.
Like if someone's.
It's specifically for entitled white women. You know, if somebody smash Camrys.
If somebody's about to like kill you, someone be like, "Why don't you grab the hammer?" You'd be like, "It's not for that. It's for the dogs."
No. Yeah, yeah. That's this for is windows. Just to get the yeah. breeder dogs yeah. out of the Range Rovers. Yeah. That didn't leave a note.
yeah, that's horrible when they do that.
It's tricky. The only time I've ever intervened. Because I find most of my girlfriends and guy friends that are having kids, the biggest issue they have is when strangers give them parenting advice. There's a difference between what your mom is doing, obviously. Like, I was with a girlfriend of mine, and she had her baby out in public with us, which was, I don't know why. But we were outside, and I don't know. And this woman walked by and was like, "You better put some sunscreen on that baby."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Jesus. Like, if I have a kid, am I going to have to deal with notes from, like, strange?" I'm not going to handle that
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'm not going to
I could see that being like, yeah, that's a that would could get contentious.
But good one word. Time, because I'm curious what is about, like, the universal thing and what's about a personal projection or getting triggered, whatever that word means. I got emotionally activated once when I saw, because when I see parents
emotionally
in public,
activated is a great phrase.
Is it?
Yeah. Like if someone turns you on and you're like, I'm
emotionally activated yeah. and my brain is telling me I need to intervene.
Yeah.
I am motivated to solve a problem and get involved.
Right.
It's very rare because also like when you see women in public with their kids and they're at the grocery store and I'm like, Godspeed. Like, right. I want to, like, when I see babies crying in airplanes now, I used to kind of be like, "Oh, here we go. Why do you have to fly with your baby?" Like, now I'll send him a drink because right. I'm like, dude,
you're saying you have as much empathy for human babies as you do animals now? Kind of.
Well,
almost.
It's more when it's something that I guess I can relate to being frustrating. For example, I saw this woman in the grocery store with her like 5-year-old kid, and she's obviously overwhelmed, as you know, any mom I'm sure is. She's in something that looks like she'd be working in, like a suit or some shit, or maybe she was an actress going on a callback for Law and Order. I don't know. It's LA, so you never know.
Right.
And the kid, it was this little girl. She's probably like 5. I'm not great with ages of kids. Like it's hard to. It's really hard to tell. The kid could have been 14.
How long's that thing been around? Yeah. I can't tell.
It's
2, 5? Yeah.
I'm glad that I don't know the exact age of what a kid is. You know? It's like, does it have adrenochrome or not?
I know. Like, before I had kids, I wouldn't know either. 3, 4. You can't tell.
The kid was definitely young enough to be confused and didn't understand the mind game she was playing. So the kid would grab some sugary cereal Fruit Loops, put it in the grocery cart. And then the mom took it out of the grocery cart and put it back on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And then the kid took it again, put it in the grocery cart. Mom puts it back. And then the mom goes, "Grab it again, put it in the cart, see what happens. Grab it again, see what happens." And I just was watching this and I was like, watching this kid be so confused.
Right.
I was like, this is sarcasm.
Right.
Which I don't think this kid understands yet.
Right.
And the kid was like, I saw like her like reaching for it. She couldn't tell if her mom was serious, but obviously knew on some level that this was a trap or a trick. Or it didn't sound right.
Right.
And I just was like, "Excuse me, ma'am, I don't think your kid understands sarcasm."
Wow,
like,
you jumped in.
And I regret
you
it.
You parented it.
I fully, wow. K-A-R-Y-N.
Yeah, did she go, "Mind your business, bitch"? Whitney, can I get a picture? I didn't know it was you. That would be a funny moment. If she's just like, "Oh, wait, that's Whitney Cummings."
It is weird when people kind of abuse their kids in order to get a photo. Like, can I get a picture? And the kid is just like floating down the aisle in the cart. I'm like, but I felt so embarrassed and bad. But at the same time, I feel like she was so flustered and overwhelmed. But I know that moment left a mark. Because I remember as a kid, I had a really hard time with the cognitive dissonance of people going like, "I'm fine."
Right.
"No, I'm fine."
So what happened?
So then I just was like, "I'm so sorry. That was none of my business." And it just was like awkward.
So it just came out. It was just like you didn't even think about it. It was just like a natural reaction.
I just felt protective. It's like the way that I feel with animals. Because animals are voiceless. They can't send emails. I just insert myself because it can't stand up for itself. And I think I'm just, you know, standing up for it. But like this was a kid. I don't know.
So you're saying if an animal could write an email, would be able to voice its grievance more effectively.
I'm just saying, like, I know you're abusing something that's voice. Right. This, I was like, I don't know how parenting works. Like, I'm a comedian.
Was this something from your childhood that was like a trigger point?
I think maybe, because growing up, there was a lot of indirect communication, and there was a lot of sort of communication shrouded in vagueness, and there was a lot of, "Can you pass the salt? Thanks." No, I'm fine. No, 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 everything's good. This is great. Sure. No, 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 I don't care that you're late. There was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I feel like she's saying one thing and something, or we'd go to church and it would be like, don't cheat on your wife, don't lie. And then I would see that at home. And I'd be like, I can't, I think kids just kind of need black and white.
What I love about the human condition, and I've learned this as I've gotten older, is that so much of what we do is not for the reason we think it is,
yeah.
Which I find fascinating.
Give me an example.
Yeah, it's always like some, you know, trigger point from childhood or some subconscious motivation that you don't quite understand. We're very fascinating.
I was listening to you and Rogan talk about bears for an hour for easily the third time. Every time you're on Rogan, you talk about...
He likes bears.
Bears. And yeah. Then just when I think you're like, they've talked about black bears for 45 minutes, then it's like, well, grizzly bears, man. So then you start to...
They're not as friendly as people think.
No. And if you're going to fight a grizzly bear, and then I'm just like, I actually am enjoying listening to this. It is fascinating, but the perfect amount of boring.
Yeah.
Because... And not boring because, like, two of my very good friends, people I find fascinating, but it's sort of like I kind of heard them talk about it before.
It's okay. It was a boring part of the episode,
no,
is what you're saying.
Well, but I'm listening.
Yeah.
I'm listening to it. I can listen to anything I want, and I'm enjoying it. There's a comfort in just hearing my friends drone on. It's like being at the Comedy Store and guys being like, all right, who would win in a fight between a wolf and a saber-toothed tiger? And then they're just arguing. I don't know, man. Saber-tooths, they can circle. Like, how many wolves? Is the wolf in heat? Is the wolf neutered? How old is the wolf? Like, there's something soothing about just listening to men figure shit out.
I think Rogan's podcast is one that if, like, a caveman got unfrozen and was able to be animated, it wouldn't shock him that much when you turned it on. If he turned the other ones on, he'd be like, what's this? There's a gay guy yelling? What's a gay guy? What's this? Oh, my God, what's a camera? But if you turn on Rogan's, he would be like, bear, eat it. You get sick if you don't cook it at a certain time. He'd be like, this is my wheelhouse. He's a caveman, is what I'm saying.
I enjoy listening to men think through dangerous scenarios. Because
is it hot to you to listen to someone talk about killing a bear? Does it pull on some sort of primal female? What makes you emotionally activated, Whitney?
Child abuse in the cereal aisle. No, but I think there's a primordial, there's a soothing nature of listening to men try to figure out how to handle the wilderness. You know what I mean? It's like this dog, if you're going to fight a dog, you have to do this. This dog will do this. This has a wolf instinct. And if you're going to kill a bear, you do it this way. Like, this is what men should be thinking about at all times. How am I going to protect myself? How am I going to fight predators? You know, I'm hunting, eating elk meat. It's men practicing protecting and surviving.
Right. Which we don't have to do at all anymore.
It's millionaires that have security guards talking about scenarios they'll never be in.
Right.
You know? So, but
in my case, thousandaire.
Yikes. It's like, shut up. It's like, you know, there's some evidence that we actually sleep more deeply and go into delta sleep if we hear dogs breathing next to us. Sleeping with dogs can help you sleep more.
Interesting.
Because on a, you know, it makes more sense that
I'm all into that.
You know that you have protection and you know, and that would help you feel safe enough to sleep more deeply. But like, I'm not sure what primordial urge or need women talking for 3 hours about like soothes.
It would be about breastfeeding or cooking. Cleaning? We're going all the way back, right? So if the guy's killing a bear, the wife is putting logs in the fire.
Well, probably cooking, cutting things up.
Cutting things up.
Strategizing. Honestly,
strategizing.
We've really, and I'm not saying this.
Gossiping?
Gossiping. Which is a form of bonding.
Yes.
And it is soothing to watch women gossip because that means they're more tethered to each other. And it means that when one of them have a baby, the other ones will be invested in the baby and the baby's life is.
More than soothing. I would say hypnotic. I've watched my wife watch Real Housewives and there's such a blank look in her little brain.
Well, Real Housewives
off.
For us is verbal MMA.
Oh.
We're watching fighting. We're studying fighting.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been a bit. You may want to cut that and put that on stage. That's very funny.
I mean, look, I think I'll be fine with
that. Yeah, I think you got enough stuff.
I think I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, though. But yeah.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah.
That
every
is
now
real
and then
funny.
A woman has a good observation.
I've only seen it three times.
Every now and then if I say something that's like kind of interesting, guys are like, well, you got to do that on stage.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I could also just be interesting in a conversation.
Or funny. That was very funny.
I know, yeah. I know.
But I would have said that if you were a guy.
He's blindsided.
I think you're being inappropriately defensive.
Oh, you guys, let's talk about garbage. No, I'm not talking about your ex. I'm talking about actual garbage. There is a place to put your trash that is actually going to be good for the earth. If you want to start making a positive environmental impact or just make cleanup after dinner that much easier, and by the way, not have ants all the time, Lomi is perfect for you. Head to lomi.com/Whitney and use the promo code Whitney to get $50 off your Lomi. That's $50 off when you head to lomi.com/Whitney and use promo code Whitney at checkout. Food waste is gross. Lomi is your solution. With the holidays just around the corner, Lomi will make the perfect gift for someone on your shopping list. No joke, I am getting the people I love Lomi. It's this cute little bubble, like it's a bulbous little baby, little egg kind of thing. And you put your trash in it and then it turns it into nutrient-rich dirt that you can then put out in your yard to nurture the next generation of your, is it flora or fauna?
Flora.
Flora. Don't mansplain me. Manscape me. Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products so you get your man, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. So Manscaped is a total game changer. You guys know this about me. I will not go down on a man unless he has manscaped himself, unless he has used all of the above products, the shampoo, conditioner. I love this body spray, by the way. I actually use this for myself. Oh, God, it smells so good. It just smells like a clean man that, like, doesn't have a chain wallet. I just love it so much. It just smells like a man that doesn't own one V-neck. Smells like a man with good credit. I just cannot get enough. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com/Whitney. Get your man a gift you'll both enjoy, the gift of Manscaped. His jingle balls will thank you. Your chin will also thank you.
Because I would have said the same thing to a guy. I would have said, that's a good bit.
Yeah, no.
And I'll just steal it.
But that is
it.
What we're, please. But that's, yeah, a good look. I think there's that. And
because it's true. You're right. It's, mm-hmm, kind of like, that's how women fight.
And that's also why we love murder, because we're studying to protect ourselves. We have to study murderers. We have to study crime scenes. That's why we love Grey's Anatomy, because it's like getting research to make ourselves feel more safe and to prepare for the imminent threat.
Yeah. So when you watch like Real Housewives, you're going like, nice jab. Here she comes. What? Oh, that. This one's good at
kind
that.
Kind of, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, shit. She's down. She's
false
never,
compliment.
She's,
oh,
never
going to
work hard. You're watching,
yeah,
Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
I mean, you're watching the alpha, you know, them all sort of position for that role.
I
of the
love
alpha.
That war. I love the passive war that women wage. What's it like? Is everything double talk? Is everything sort of fake compliment, phoniness?
The hardest part about it is you can't prove it. So if a guy punch, if Rogan punches you in the face, you can prove it. I've
right.
bruised, he punched me in the face, there's his wedding ring scratched, it's here. When a woman injures you, it's hard. When you're verbally like that or emotionally in a way that's kind of insidious, like,
yeah,
you're saying, this kind of silent, passive aggressive fighting,
yeah,
when you try to recap it to someone else, you sound crazy.
Right.
And many times.
That's layered. I love it.
And
yeah,
many it's times it's very hard for men to pick up on. So have you ever been on a double date with your wife and you in the, she's talking to the your friend's the wife or whatever, you're talking to the husband, and then she gets in the car and she's like, what the fuck was that?
Right.
Why did you make me sit there with that? She was being so fucking rude to me. She was being so, you're like, I thought you guys were having a great time.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah,
how did you not see how rude she was?
Yeah.
When she told me I look so much prettier without makeup,
yeah,
you didn't notice that?
Yeah.
Like, remember that? Like, so...
It's like fighting happening on a frequency that I can't access.
It's also...
Right now, we're on, like, our sixth housekeeper. And the last one got fired because, and I think this quote is pretty accurate, she thinks she's better than me. And I'm like, okay, when and how did this happen? And she goes, trust me.
Trust
she
me.
Does.
It's a tricky one.
She goes, trust me. And I go, can you explain it? Can you give
I'm
me an example?
I'm already on her side. I'm
and
on your wife's
went,
side.
She went, no, I can't. Just trust me. It's a feeling I get.
So does the housekeeper also help rear the
I
offspring?
I don't pay attention to that at all.
Okay.
No, she does not help the offspring. No.
Huh. There is a, I think, inside the home, the same way a man can throw his dick around, like of, if, okay, so let's say you're in your home and you have a gun in the house, okay, just to protect your wife, whatever, let's just say. And then Rogan comes over and picks up the gun and is like, oh, this is a bullshit gun. Like, you're not even going to be able to protect your wife and you're hardly going to be able to, you know, in front of your wife. There's something kind of emasculating about that.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yes.
I think when you're in the home and a housekeeper or something is like, oh, no, you don't do it this way. You do it this way. Like
right.
The bacon grease, you can't pour it down. You have to hold the bacon grease out and let it harden and then throw it away. If someone did that in front of my man,
yeah,
it'd be over.
But can't we just overlook that? Like, what's, why does that start a war and then we're on our sixth housekeeper?
Well, I think it's because your wife is, I like your wife a lot. I default.
She's the best. Yeah.
Yes. And she chose you and you chose her. So I'm already on her side. I think that when you're in your home, everything outside your home is so stressful.
Yeah.
I respect someone that is like, not in here.
How many housekeepers have you had?
Where I have to like, I have had the same housekeeper for 16 years. She is my family. Her name is Leslie.
Right. I remember.
We've been together for 16 years. She lives here a lot of the time. Like, she's like my, I cleaned the house before she comes over.
Well, my wife does that too, and that doesn't make sense either.
But I do it just because I love her, right, and she's seen me go through so much, and I want her to know that I've learned from my mistakes and grown and matured. This is a 16-year relationship,
right,
and I attribute a lot of my success to her because when I was in, Jesus Christ, like 70,000.
I'm going to hold you to that. When you get your a next Emmy or an Emmy, I want you to thank your housekeeper.
Thank you for the Razzie. Yeah. I owe it to you, Leslie. Leslie, but this is like a weird little life hack that I've never talked about because it feels embarrassing and like white woman.
There you go. Something new to talk about.
Elitist.
Yeah.
She, to start telling secrets and the embarrassing
stuff.
Yeah,
that's what you got to do. It's what happens. You got
to burn it all down. I'm out of things to talk about. Never mind. Let's talk about my hemorrhoid. Like,
just burn it down.
When I was living in a studio apartment right next to the Comedy Store, I was like $70,000 in debt. No success on the horizon, really. But I had written a couple pilots, and I like taught myself to write. I got a cleaning lady before I had health insurance. Nothing. Because I knew, I was like, I know my OCD cannot handle things being dirty. I had cockroaches in this place. Like, it just was like a whole thing. And I got a cleaning lady. She was my cleaning lady. I mean, literally 16 years ago when I had absolutely nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. Before I invested in headshots, health insurance, the HPV vaccine, I got a cleaning lady because I knew at a very young age, I need a wife. I know I need a wife.
Right.
Behind every great woman is another woman,
right,
who's helping make sure that I don't have to deal with like cockroaches and laundry and shit.
What is the madness about cleaning for the housekeeper though? I don't get that.
Because
my wife does that. She goes, we got to straighten up. The housekeeper's coming. I'm going like, isn't that what we're paying her to do?
Yes, but makes me like her more because it's a little disrespectful to just be like, bleh, I'm going to make it as shitty as possible just because the housekeeper's coming.
So it's sort of like showering before you see a hooker. It's sort of a nice thing to do.
Okay, just because, first of all, I'm like 90.
I just wanted to Gaia-ize it.
Like 90% sure hooker is not the going term.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I believe it's street whore.
Okay.
I believe it's trollop. What is the PC word?
Sex worker.
All sex is work.
Yeah, sex worker. That's sometimes these more progressive terms don't sound more progressive.
No, it's like the temporarily unhoused.
Yes.
Instead of homeless. I'm like, homeless people are like, this isn't temporary.
Yes.
I'm homeless.
Now it's a incarcerated person instead of inmate, and you're going like, they sound synonymous to me. I don't know. This is getting crazy. You know that's like a thing now.
Yes, there was one recently someone tried to term me. I'll remember what it was. Oh my God, I'm almost there. Hold on. Oh, I was getting interviewed by this very PC person, like the queen of the, this is what you say and this is how you say it, and if you say it wrong, you're trash type of person. Sort of the new super minority bully.
Yeah.
The person that complains that they get bullied because they're this really unique minority. There's very few of. And then they use that power to bully the people that are actually on their side. And you'll never be good enough. Nothing you'll do will ever be good enough. Like that kind of person. The people that intentionally misunderstand what you're saying on purpose to justify being offended.
Well, because that's their raison d'etre.
And that's the only... that's the only value they have is being offended and making you feel like shit. So So we were talking about something and I was like, we were deep into like program recovery talk of like codependent recovery, 12-step programs, like how to, you know, develop self-esteem, stuff like that. And I said, you know, I learned it took me a long time in recovery to realize that just because I have confidence, it doesn't mean I have self-esteem. So like comedians, I think we were talking about what's going on in comedy right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I get very confused because most people go like, you're a comic. That must have meant you were traumatized and abused and like you must be sad and depressed. And then they throw bottles at us and they punch us on stage because they say we're bullies that are causing violence and we're punching down. It's like, which is it? You guys, it's very like, you know that we're all sad clowns that are suffering and something bad probably happened to us. And then you're now saying like, which it's very, and then I was like, you know, I think a lot of people think comedians, you know, might be tougher than they are because we come off very confident because we do the scariest thing on the planet.
Right.
You know, the thing most people are afraid of. So maybe that's when they conflate confidence with self-esteem kind of thing.
Right.
And then I said something about, you know, I was like, oh, I learned that, you know, in order to build self-esteem, you have to engage in esteemable action. So you can't just sit around reading quotes from Oprah and Brene Brown that say, like, believe in yourself, love yourself. That's not
accomplish things.
Yeah, you have to do selfless, like, ask your old neighbor if you can take his trash out every day. Go to the grocery store for your elderly neighbor. Like, do something for someone else besides yourself.
Oh.
Be of service. That's how you build self-esteem.
I thought you built it by achieving things for yourself, no?
No, by making money and fucking tens.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it is?
I think that...
Oh, is that where confidence comes from?
Well, it depends. I think, like, for me, if you don't have the self-esteem and you achieve a lot of stuff, you might then just go, I got lucky, and then you have imposter syndrome, and you're like, I don't deserve anything I have, or... and then that's when you see a lot of successful people that are still radically insecure and yelling at people and being assholes.
Those people, I think that means that they're genuine people. I think that they have real talents. Yeah.
I
think the people who don't have that feeling ever are like sociopathic kind of.
Yeah. I think that if you narcissist. Know you went all the way around the track and did it right, like, you know, people are always like, if I ever am like, yeah, I'm insecure about this, they're like, do you have imposter syndrome? I'm like, no. There's this new trend where people just say they have imposter syndrome. I think they think it makes them seem smart. I have the opposite. I think I deserve more than I have. I don't think I have enough. Based on how hard I worked, I'm like, I do not feel like an imposter. I've worked my fucking ass off.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this fake humble. Like, I have imposter syndrome. Like, I don't feel like I deserve any of this. Like,
did you ever feel it? Like, ever at all?
You know, there were definitely times in the beginning where I felt like I got opportunities that I didn't deserve yet because
No, it's not even about what you got, but just like you felt about your, about the craft, like not even like what you're getting, you know?
You know,
but like just like about the craft or like, it's a weird feeling. I've felt it where I'm going like, am I a comedian? Like sometimes I've even been like, am I a comedian? I'm like, that's a weird thought.
Yeah.
I'm about to get on stage and I'm like, what's
wild.
That? Yeah.
It is shocking. I mean, I said this, I was just at Sacramento Punchline this weekend working on new material, like in smaller venues. And I came off stage, and every time I come off stage, I realize I'm like, I have no idea how I just did that.
It's yeah, like, that's sort of what I'm saying.
No
yeah.
idea how I mean, yeah. The confluence of habit, adrenaline, it's my thing, whatever. But I always look back and I'm like, whoa, that was fucking ballsy. Like, that was wild, you know? So I'm still in awe of what we're able to do on stage. But the only times I've ever felt weird about it is when I feel like I had like a cheap low-hanging fruit thing or, you know, a crowd work moment that just gets more than it deserves.
Yeah.
But that's our magic trick.
I think everyone's kind of jumped a shark at this point.
I think it's a very small group of people and they are amplified and we are exaggerating how many there are and it just feels bigger than it is. This is why I love touring is that you see how reasonable most people are. Most people have the same thought we do. They're like, everyone's lost their mind. People have gone off the deep end. You know, it's the inmates running the asylum, but I think like 99% of people are reasonable.
Yeah, I think so. But everywhere you look, there seems to be a little jumping of the shark going on. I think like you turn on the TV or you get on the internet, you see like the vice president singing the wheels on the bus
go round and round.
And then you see AOC being like, listen. All right, listen.
She's like at the Met Gala in a $70,000 gown.
And then you turn on a commercial, and then you see DeSantis doing a Top Gov commercial where he's dressed like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and then Colbert's hosting pickleball, and lecturing then, people on the vaccine, and then hosting a it's a lot.
It's gotten to be a lot.
I think,
Donald Trump gives a speech. First thing he does is call Nancy Pelosi an animal. You're like, her husband just fucking got hit with a hammer. Could you wait a couple of fucking days to call her an animal? You're the former president of the United States. Where is the little bit of decorum? I'm just talking not calling her an animal. The bar's pretty low, like smartness on a comedian.
But I will say nothing surprises me for a couple of reasons. So it's like the first thing they tell you to do when you go into the Al-Anon program or ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics, is study alcoholism. And that is the only way that you're not going to take someone's addictive behaviors and addictions personally. Because we think everyone's drinking at us. We think everyone's overdosing at us or having a sex addiction at us. It has nothing to do with you. So for me, I feel really lucky because the way that I started in television is I needed to know how the business worked because I was like, I know I'm not going to be the prettiest. I know I'm not going to be the luckiest. I know I'm not, you know, I don't have any connections to the business. So many people that make it. I mean, Nicolas Cage is related to Francis Ford Coppola.
Right.
Not that he's not brilliant. I'm just saying there's probably a lot of brilliant people out there with better hairlines that weren't going to get that opportunity. Right. So I was like,
he's not Daniel Day-Lewis.
I know that my chances of making it are so small. Right. I have to study the business and figure out what I need to do to make them have to hire me.
Right.
Like that's, so I studied the business. I went on this website. It's called whorepresents.com. I learned every agent that represented every person. I studied all these people's careers. I was reading. Every morning I would walk up from the apartment I lived in right next to the Comedy Store and steal my neighbor's Variety and walk around and read it and drop it back off. I did this every morning for 8 months until the owner of the house finally came out and went, "Are you stealing my Variety?" And it was Malcolm McDowell. And it was the scariest moment of my life. And I said to him, I was like, "Can I please just read it every morning? I'm trying to learn about the business." You know, so I think once you learn the business, everything becomes way less surprising because the people like Trump study the business more than anyone. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what to say in order to get pickup. This guy studied Hitler. This guy studied Silvio Berlusconi. I did that Wondery podcast called Bunga Bunga about.
Are you seeing a lot of yourself in Trump right now? That's what it sounds like. You're going like,
look, it's just, I did a lot of he's things. My muse. Is that weird? No, but he was the number one TV star in the world.
Right.
Before. The guy is a media, he's not a real estate genius. No. He's not a finance genius. He's not a business genius. He is a media genius.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what to do. I mean, he is the one that asked to be roasted. I roasted him on his roast.
Yes.
And after I went up, I said the most brutal things about him. I called his wife a whore. I said, like, you know, Melania, you shouldn't have given her a diamond ring. Now she knows what heart is supposed to feel like. I just slammed. And then he was the entire time, I started feeling bad. He would be like wincing. He was like, ooh. Like he looked like his feelings were hurt.
But he liked the attention.
Afterwards, I went off to kind of go, I'm sorry. I hope that wasn't too rough. And he went, that was great television.
Yeah, great. Yeah,
great television.
Yeah, he used to call and pretend to be his own publicist. There's clips of it.
So
the irony is Hollywood made him and now they hate him, but he really is, he's a media creation, really.
CNN, none of these places could exist without him. I mean, they gave him $1 trillion.
He wouldn't exist if it wasn't for The Apprentice. The Apprentice is what took him from being a sort of local New York kind of celebrity with maybe one cameo and
he was in movies, yeah, remember?
To like a national celebrity.
In order to become the president now or to become a big political figure, I think it probably started with JFK, right? Having to be telegenic.
Yeah.
And then Reagan was an actor. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger was our governor.
Once we went to the televised debate, it kind of changed.
You know?
Nixon so it's looked like, horrible. Kennedy looked
he's
good.
He's just the Michael Jordan of getting people's eyeballs.
It's not boring.
What it is. He also understands that adrenaline addiction is real. So it's like if you can give
someone. For you, you're projecting. Because you're adrenaline junkie.
If you can give someone adrenaline,
yeah,
that will produce dopamine, and then they're kind of bonded to you. You know, it's like when you can't stop watching.
So if I scare the shit out of you, are you committed to me for life?
For life.
Really?
I'm your bitch.
I walk in and I like have a knife and I hold it to your throat and you're feeling adrenaline, you'll just go, I love you.
I just mean it's more like when you watch men watching football, you guys are miserable. You're miserable.
If our team's losing or
you're
if we
miserable.
Lose the money in the game.
You're miserable.
But if you're winning some money,
but
on the
then
game.
The adrenaline drip of this masochist. Like I used to date a Patriots fan. Jesus Christ! What do you want me to kick you in the balls every time we fuck too? Like this is an addiction. You're miserable. But I learning about the internal medicine cabinet of the adrenaline, phenylethylamine, and the serotonin becomes addictive. That's why addictive relationships, dramatic relationships where you fight, drama gets addictive. I'm sure you've been in relationships when you were younger with women where you're like, this is a nightmare and I can't get out.
Right. Yes.
You become addicted to each other. And I think that that happens with Trump. People get so addicted to the rage. I call it big rage. Like, not big pharma, big rage. Like, that's why people go on Twitter, to go get their daily hit of rage.
Right.
It makes them feel self-righteous. I think more people are addicted to hating them that even like them at this point.
Right. The thing is, you're right. What you're saying is right. It's 100% right.
Seems stunned.
No, not. You see, you keep going back to this thing that, like, I'm looking at a little girl with a little brain. It's not that. It's like you're saying something that is not typically said. You're basically hacking it and going, like, this is all chemical.
Yeah.
This is chemical. And you're using an allegory of a bad relationship that everyone's been in, yep, where you're kind of addicted to the toxicity,
yeah,
of it,
yes,
because it gives you a chemical rush. And that's the people who love Trump. That is essentially their bond.
I think
that's pretty profound.
I think we're going
to. Yes, I am surprised coming out of a little brain.
All right. So if y'all know anything about me, you know that I'm real big on lubing up my entire body, my face, every crevice you can imagine. So people always say that I have good skin. I don't know. Do people think I have good skin, Pat? Other people think I'm lying about my age. It's hard to tell. But it seems like people think I have good skin.
They're obsessed with it.
Obsessed with my skin, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I constantly put oil on my face. And it's hard for me to find the oil that is perfect to do what I need it to do, which is basically lubing up your body. People think, like, oh, oil makes your skin oily. No. What happens is when you put oil on your face, it makes it so that your oil glands stop having to produce so much oil so you don't break out as much. For a gift that will impress, check out Osei's bestseller mini collection. Right now, our listeners get 10% off your first order with promo code GOODFORYOU at OseiMalibu.com. You'll even get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. That's 10% off at Osei, O-S-E-A, Malibu.com, promo code good for you. This is an incredible product. I have it by my bed at all times, and then I carry it with me when I'm on a plane. I love
it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now's the time to get 2 for $3.99. Mix and match a 4-piece McNuggets, a McDouble, a McChicken, or a hot and spicy McChicken. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.
This product, I love what they do. I'm just completely obsessed. When we tour, we don't get paid to do stand-up. We get paid to fly.
Right.
We get paid to travel, right?
Right.
So it's like, for me...
Wait, that one lost me.
Really?
I mean, you do speak fast, and I'm really impressed at how much I've been able to pay attention and follow this. But I am a little lost in that. We get paid to fly, not to stand up.
Well, it's like I'm saying, if you're going to Florida, whatever, Orlando Improv this weekend, I think of it as like I'm getting paid to fly. I'm getting paid to travel.
Still don't follow.
Going on stage, I would do that for free.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're saying your love of the game would make you do that.
Yeah. Like, I'm not getting paid to go on stage and make people laugh and do stand-up. I do that for free every night at the Comedy Store. You know what I mean? Or every, like, I mean, comics, no matter.
That's what I love about
LA comedy is you can go to any sushi restaurant or bowling alley, and you'll see, like, Chris Rock working on his Oscar set. You know, it's like, I still do comedy for free all the time.
Got it. Okay.
I feel like I get paid to fly Southwest and make 6 connections and drive to rural Iowa and stay in the...
That's the work part. That's what feels like work. Okay.
I'm not getting paid to be on stage and make people laugh.
Okay. Gotcha.
Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Once you explained it, now I got it. Hearing it was a little jarring.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think
about
we get paid to travel.
Right. That's the part that feels like work, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, you were shorthanding it. It was a little inside.
Mm-hmm.
I just opened it up for all your fans.
I just feel like more when men get married, they just, other women talking. It's like 7 seconds.
No,
I
am an unbelievable listener now because testosterone levels are down. And it's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful world to be like, oh my God, I heard that whole fucking sentence. Was it interesting or that? No,
my favorite thing about
you.
You, and I love a lot of things about you, is how you're one of the smartest people I know, but you don't pronounce your N's.
I sound stupid.
It's so funny though. It's like this.
And
sentence,
I am stupid. Stop saying.
You're really
that.
Not. You're one of the smartest people I know.
There's a low bar. There's a very low bar.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I'm a snob. My bar is high.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. So walk me through This. A couple things. I'm really big on asking advice of the smartest people I know. What do you think I should? Do you think I should have a kid? Do you think I should get married?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes. Yes.
Both?
I think so, yes. I think it...
How's parenthood coming?
It's incredible. It's the best thing in the world, and I think there comes a point where, like, you've done everything. Even from the most selfish perspective, most narcissistic perspective, which I also am, why I think I did it a little later, and also, yeah, we're career-driven and all that. It is, there comes a point where you've just done it. And you've done, like, there's nothing else to do. You're just, it's redundant at that point. And then when you
what, just life?
Life, yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to have another fucking fun conversation with your friend? Like, you've done all the things a bunch of times, especially if you're smart, if you're smarter and need more stimulation. It's like, you've done it. You've done everything. You've been to clubs, you partied, you fucked
but
all
I
the people.
I think very few people have a kid when they're at that point. I think a lot of times they have it before they're like, okay, I've checked every box. I've lived my life the way I want to live it without a kid. Now I'll have a kid. I think most people do it like halfway through. And they're like, I didn't get to do this. And now I don't get to do my mud run.
Well, I can't speak to that because I feel like I did it later. So I felt like I did it.
Yeah, but
so
don't you see a lot of people that are like overwhelmed and stressed and they still haven't accomplished their goals yet or whatever. And they see it more as a hindrance
some
or obstacle.
Some people. But I think ultimately it's the reward is so much more than the work of it. And it is hard, but the reward is you can't even describe it. It's nature.
Try.
It's the most fulfilling thing you will feel in your life. Mm-hmm. You will feel, and it's visceral. It's what nature wants us to do. No different from string beans or cockroaches.
Sure.
That's what we're here to do.
Did
we're
you
not
say
here.
String beans?
String beans. They also reproduce, yeah. That's why there's all the beans in there.
Sure.
You shit them out, and then they make more. Everything just wants to propagate.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So we're animals, right? And so we have that same need. And when you do it, there's a deeper level of fulfillment that comes, and you know, we're not here to do the stuff we think we're doing. Those are personal, kind of ego-driven dreams.
Of course.
And those are good, but then when you fulfill yourself on the deepest level, mm-hmm. It's a level of fulfillment and enjoyment that you can't, and you truly can't explain it. It can only be experienced. And it's as good, it's the only thing that you'll do that will live up to the hype and more. You're just like, wow, yeah. Mm. You know when people say that, like, it's incredible? It's like, it just is. And that doesn't mean it's not hard, but what is good and worthwhile, that's not hard, you know?
Yeah, of course.
It's absolutely incredible. It's an incredible, incredible thing. And it's humbling.
Yeah.
And it gives you perspective. And also, it opens you up to a whole bunch of new shit where you're starting to see life through somebody else's eyes, and you're able to right a lot of the wrongs that your parents did and keep evolution going. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the fear in having the kid, again, going back to our topic we had earlier, where we don't, a lot of times we do things for reasons we don't understand. Yeah. I think a lot of times people who don't do it are doing it because they had some sort of bad experience in their childhood, and they don't want to relive it, and they're sort of seeing themselves through the kid's eyes, and they're not, detaching. There's no dissonance between, like, this is going to be a new person, and that's over, that's not going to happen.
I feel like the way that I, and maybe it's because I do so much animal behavioral, like, I grew up really only being able to understand animal behavior. I didn't understand human behavior for a lot of reasons, and then now, like, the most fulfilling thing I do besides, you know, stand up, of course, or whatever, is like unbreaking horses. You know, it's like horses that have been broken, their spirit has been broken. And then you do, it's called Liberty Training, a gala, and you help them get their pride back and their individuality back and basically make them free again. So they can, you know, that's really rewarding to me. Where am I going with this? I
love that you just start going and then figure out where you're going afterwards.
Oh, yeah,
afterwards.
I never quite know. I'm like those, you know, when you ask a guy who's cheating on you, like, where they were last night, like, where were you till 3 in the
you
morning?
You just start going.
They go, where was I?
Yeah, where was I?
Till 3 in the, like, buying time.
Yeah.
No, I actually did know where I was going, but, like, I guess I just...
I think you're in the middle of rationalizing.
No, it's more I believe that all the things that I am really proud of about myself are all of the very... admirable qualities, venerable qualities that I have came from pretty intense adversity. And I, get confused about, like, do I inflict intentional adversity onto a child so that they're tougher? Like, I just worry, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're going to have it on their own, but I'm just like, do I neglect them and leave them at school on purpose? Do I get drunk sometimes?
Well, I think that right there you're projecting thinking that the kid's going to be exactly like you.
But if the kid is
maybe the kid's
if
different.
The kid is an entitled slut, like I see the way a lot of people I know parent these days, and it is so hard to watch.
But you won't do that. You'd I'm be like, a great mom. Look at how, you know, you're like successful, tough, smart, you know, shrewd, fucking funny, talented.
Like, for example, I know this is going to get me in hot water, but it's like, I grew up poor. Like, whatever hand-me-downs were available is what you wore. You know, this whole thing of, like, I'm just going to accommodate every whim that my child has. I don't think I'm going to be good at that, you know? I learned to solve my own problems very young. I learned to be self-sufficient very young.
I think you don't want to have a kid. You're seeing, you know, for me, life is really a stop sign and an open road. And whenever you're talking about a specific thing, if you're seeing more of the stop sign and less of the open road, you can say whatever you want. You don't want to do it. If you're seeing more of the open road and less of the stop sign, you want to do it.
And I'm the one saying something and then figuring it out later.
You didn't get that?
No!
Did you get that?
We get paid to run stop signs, yeah. Not to do stand-up. The drivel. No, yes, I see what you
mean. You get what I'm saying.
Yes, I totally get what you're saying.
Yes.
I guess for me, and maybe this is probably why I'll be such a good mom, because I do overthink things a lot, and I'm not this willy-nilly type of bitch, but I just see the way people are raising their children right now, or maybe it's just the people around me, and I'm just like, this kid is going to be useless.
Yeah, put her in ISIS. Give her some adversity.
I don't know. I guess it'll be fine.
Send her to like a child factory in Taiwan, say, work your way out.
Who's like a famous adopted
Steve
person?
Jobs, and he was a cunt. I mean, he did a great thing, but I mean, he never talked to his daughter. Small sacrifice.
You need a sociopathic monster to invent the best thing that's ever been invented. He didn't have time.
Sure. I mean, he could have called her on her birthday.
He was busy inventing the thing that helps us call people on their birthday.
He had a couple minutes.
He couldn't. Yeah. Like, this whole thing where we go after brilliant people for not being a good enough friend is so weird to me. Who fucking cares, dude? Were people like, hey, Ben Franklin, I didn't get a thank you card. Like, why are we mad at Steve Jobs? This whole takedown.
His daughter is.
He invented a thing that people would, like, fucking kill someone for.
Yeah.
This is the only reason that I can get out of a jam. It's the only reason I can do anything to make money. I can take pictures of my tits and send them instantly. The guy's a genius. And we're like, but he ignored his daughter. She sounded like a bratty cunt to me.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, well, I'll tell you one person who never got an iPhone, and that's his daughter. She's got a Samsung, for sure. She's not going to be looking down every time she wants to check Twitter and being reminded of her absentee
famous father. It's just this whole thing of, like, the most genius inventor of our time, but he was kind of an absent father. It's like, Jesus Christ, we're going to make 9 movies? Of course he was.
Right, he was busy.
Yeah,
I see what you're
saying. And we're like, Elon Musk, like, how come he, like, Jesus Christ, like, let them just keep inventing the things. The kids will be fine. They have a $1 billion trust fund. If you can't figure out a good personality and how to forgive your dad if he's Steve Jobs, if he left you $100 billion, maybe it's you. I get why he didn't call you back. Jesus Christ.
I like you. You're always solution-oriented. You go, hey, look, this is the problem. How were we going to get past it?
Spilled milk.
How are we getting past it?
I do not like to be in the problem. I like to be in the solution. Yeah. I do not get off on complaining. I don't like complaining. I like just getting into the solution.
That's a very healthy mentality, I believe.
Like, it's happened. There's nothing we can change about that. Let's just solve it. What is the gift?
Yeah, some people just love to wallow in the problem.
Anyone that is over 40 that is still talking about blaming their parents for anything is a dud.
Yeah, and if you're in your 40s and you're still complaining about January 6th, get over it.
There was a...
Get over it.
We did roast battle at the Comedy Store recently. Jeff Ross, me, and Jesus Trejos were... it's late at night and I probably mispronounced his name. We're judging. There was a guy that was like in a plaid shirt and kind of like, you know, schlubby looking. And And Jeff Ross said, "You look like you stormed the Capitol January 8th.
That's
that was such a good joke. Yeah, I know I'm gonna have a child at some point, but people are like, why are you taking so long and why are you waiting? I'm not gonna overpathologize myself for making sure I'm ready. I think some people probably pulled the trigger too soon.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just know that I was unsure, and then I did it, and then it's just great. And all the things you think are going to be problems are not problems.
Like what?
You know, oh, am I going to be able to still do my career? And oh, am I going to be good at it?
I think it makes you better. I think as a creative person. I mean, I remember Donald Glover, you know, was, you know, as Childish Gambino, he was, by the way, doing stand-up. He was on Community. He was, like, rapping. Had, like, a huge rapping career and was great at it, obviously. And then one day, I was with someone who was like, sent me a link from Fallon, and he was singing Redbone on Fallon. It was like, I hadn't seen him in like a year and a half. He was shirtless, singing Redbone on Fallon. I thought it was Marvin Gaye. I was like, who? Like, he was just hit this new gear of like genius talent. Like made my nipples hard. Like he's a friend of mine. Like, hair standing up, the chills. And I was like, dude, what happened? And he was like, I had a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think just from a real practical standpoint as a comedian, like as you age, like your audience that was with you when they were younger, they sort of grow up.
They're like, we kind of need you to.
They kind of need you to grow with
grow
them.
With us.
Yeah. Because they're like, if you're still talking about this stuff, you're connected to younger people.
Yeah.
And those people aren't going to be in you because they're into someone younger like you were.
Right, right.
Talking about those things that they were talking about.
So, okay. So I need to have a kid in order to keep my audience. Now
you're going to have one.
Now I get it.
Now
I understand why this is
material.
A good idea. Okay, I got
it. It'll be all for you.
Say no more.
Now it works for you.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you can clearly see how you can monetize this little fucker.
Okay, now say no more, fam.
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Yes.
It is just...
The deal is imminent.
Yeah.
Got it. Hold on. Yes. Oh, I can put them in commercials. I got it.
You
totally.
Get it
no
now.
Problem.
Yes. So it is good to keep your career going.
But I also think what we were talking about before, the studying neuroscience and you know, just reptilian brains and how we're designed to be raised. You know, I see so many of my girlfriends, and this goes back to your wife and the cleaning lady thing, because I wanted to tell this little antidote, which is a girlfriend of mine, brilliant actress, super busy, super successful, has a super successful husband too, had a nanny. And she went home one night and the nanny was next to her and her baby kind of just instinctively went for the nanny. And she was like, done. It was like, done. You know, just sort of that guilt of I can't be with my kid all the time, but what if my kid gets more attached to this other woman, and just kind of the primordial mama bear shit that comes out. I think that because I was raised by my aunts as well as my mom. Like, I lived in Virginia with two of my aunts. Like, I was raised in kind of an unconventional way. And
did you grow up in a cult?
Unfortunately not. It's okay. Just I lived in Virginia with my aunts, like in like middle school and high school. You know, I was like the weirdo that like lived with my aunts. You know, that kid in school where you're like, huh?
Yeah.
And yeah.
You got a story, but you keep it close to the chest.
I feel like
I've
bored people to death with like childhood stuff. Yeah, but it is weird when you've lived with your aunt.
I see it coming. No, yeah. Give it back. Let's get back to what I'm running
don't
from.
Don't ride elephants. Yeah. Bye, guys.
We're going to Idaho. I'm not going to think about it. Keep going. Don't look back. I don't want to notice it.
Brody, Athletic Greens. Promo code winning.
We're all running from something, aren't we?
But I really...
The most motivated people are running.
I was raised by two horse women, basically, that didn't have kids. Both my aunts didn't have kids. They had animals, 15 dogs, horses. Like, I saw women that were happy without kids. And then I saw my mom, who was overwhelmed by my sister and I, who were a problem. We're, you know, stressful. So maybe I just have to like rewire that. But the point is, I feel very secure with a child being raised by many women in a tribe.
So become a Mormon.
Do you know what I mean? Because we're kind of designed to have aunts and sisters.
Would you be okay with a guy with a bunch of wives? And then like, you know, would you be one of them?
It's weird because anyone that dates me, I have so many women. I do have a harem of bitches at all times in my house. Uh-huh. And like live female comics, Leslie, my cleaning. Like you are kind of marrying into
a bunch of. So you'll be raised by
a bunch of loud female comics.
Yeah.
That
it's a very fun way for a person to grow up. You'd be a fun mom.
Yeah, but like I think that I'm not. I don't feel weird. And I've you know, some of the most educational relationships I've been in is dating guys that have kids and an ex-wife, uh-huh. and the ex-wife has a boyfriend, and then the guy has me, and the kid is being raised instead of by two great parents by four, and being exposed to like you know all kinds of points of view.
My therapist helped me understand. It's just like just make the kid feel enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And that clicked for me. I was just like, I don't have to push it. I'm like, oh, I want her to succeed. It's just like, because I wasn't made to feel like I was enjoyable. That's why obviously I stand on a wood plank for
enjoyable.
Free sometimes. Yeah, like enjoyable. Like my parents enjoyed me. Like
you seemed like an obligation to them?
An obligation, a burden, an afterthought, you know, oh, we got to take care of this.
Were you a surprise? Are you second?
I was the surprise.
Yeah, me too.
I was the third, you know, so yeah, that's a big thing.
Huge.
Like, you don't have to do too much. You just got to, like, make sure they don't die
mm-hmm.
and enjoy what they're doing.
But it's have a sense of, I know I'm already pushing it. Kids know when they're like the youngest and they were an accident, because most women don't think they can get pregnant right after they have a kid. I was a surprise. I knew I was overwhelming. I knew I was pushing it. I knew I couldn't add any emotional distress. I knew that I had to be needless. So I learned to self-deprive. And I knew that I was overwhelming and not planned. Like, I felt it. So I was like, I know I need to prove my worth, be valuable other ways, and be needless, wantless, and don't push it, basically.
Right. And here you are.
Kind of thing. And I need to, like, entertain people. And when people are stressed out, like, I'm just going to be the court jester that, like, makes the drinks for mama and does the jokes.
You want everybody to get along. You want everything to be okay. You want to be liked.
Yeah.
You want to be noticed. You want to feel enjoyable because you weren't made to feel –
I felt a little bit like a burden.
Right.
I felt a little bit like a hassle.
Right, right. I think that's probably a common theme with a lot of comics.
Yeah, and then by the time you're born, they've already had a kid or two, and they know you're not going to die. Every time you cough. So
right.
I guess she's fine.
Right, right. Maybe a little ignored.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there's a reason why we do what we do.
Because I also had to learn, my dad always said this, and I didn't value it until later. He always said, it's your job to entertain yourself. He wasn't saying it in a scolding way.
Right.
Is that I just remember he would always make himself laugh, like he'd crack himself up. And I'd be like, Dad, what are you laughing at? He'd be like, it's your job to entertain yourself in life. And
right.
he would like make himself laugh. And so I always like, that always stuck with me too. Because I was like, oh, it's my job to entertain myself.
Was deep connection hard for you with people?
Define deep connection.
I don't know. Like,
you're my best friend. Is that weird?
That would be
but
weird.
But define
yeah.
deep connection, because I have to be honest with you. I think that like doing stand-up, this is probably going to sound fucked up to people, but it does feel like a very deep connection to me. Like when people come up to me in airports and they're like, I saw you at this show, and then I came back and
saw you. That's all fake.
Yeah, but when I'm with someone in the front row and we're vibing and it's like.
So deep connection is hard for you, because here you are telling me.
As long as you pay an admission fee. Yeah, I can connect
you
deeply with
you.
You
just told me someone who comes up to you at the airport.
Because here's what I'll say. This is what I'm going to say.
I don't think it's hard for me, because you know when someone who I don't know comes up to me in the airport and is like something that I've done, which is really just a version of me trying to hide the fact that I'm lonely and sad, and they say that they liked it because it made them not think about their bills while they were fucking cooking and they listened to me in the background, it feels like a very profound, deep connection. Very two-way, you know, selfless. It's so pure. I mean, that is the purest relationship I have ever heard.
At gate D16.
Yeah. Did you even catch the name of the person who stopped you in the airport or happened to buy a ticket in the front row in fucking Sacramento?
His name is Under Armour Shorts Guy.
That, you and him are like
this. Soulmate.
Peanut butter and jelly.
I have to say, though, I have a weird thing. I have to be honest with you. People, I never have guys I date come see me do stand-up. And this podcast, the people I date do not listen to this podcast. Like, if you've listened to this podcast since I started it, you know me better than any of my friends or family members.
So you do have a hard time with deep connection.
I don't know.
You just described it three different ways.
What is a deep connection? question mean?
I mean, that you're still saying, I don't know. You're going, look, my best friend is someone who comes up to me at the airport and says, can I get a picture? Also, the guys that I date, they don't know me as well as the complete fucking strangers that watch this podcast. Do you have a problem with deep connection? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Would this aunt still be here if we weren't deeply connected?
I killed the other one, so that's got to be a new guy.
I truly like...
See if he wants some candy.
Come here. Yeah. The fact that my candy is being rejected by an aunt is really dark. People tell me, men have in the past told me I have intimacy issues. I refute that because I'm like, just because I don't want to be intimate with you or just like because on your terms or whatever you define intimacy as, just because you're on Adderall and need all this eye contact or need me to like be around. Like, I just,
Do you scroll while you're getting fucked?
I have. I guess I just, to me, sometimes when someone is emotionally needy and it feels like pressure to me, and that's not connection always, that's sometimes just forced. I believe the deepest emotional connection I can have with someone is someone that gets their own emotional needs met internally.
An animal.
Well, that's my horse and I do believe that words are obstacles to connection much of the time.
Right.
So if I can connect with someone like non-verbally and be in silence with someone, that's when I feel emotionally deeply connected to them.
Right. Yeah.
Can I ask one question before we go?
Yeah.
If someone is like I'm interviewing Anna Delvey. Do you know who she is?
Fucking hats off to her. Anyone who can pull that off, hats off.
She went to jail. Now she's on house arrest and I'm going to interview her on Tuesday in New York. And I was kind of like thinking about, is it a lie if you think it's true? You know?
Yeah, it is.
But how do you, if...
There's an objective reality and then there's a...
But if you don't know, you know, I have some people in like my family who it's like the pathological dishonesty. It's like, I think you are lying to me, but I think you think, I don't think you know you're lying. I think you think what you're saying is true.
It's called gaslighting, maybe. Right?
But is that, but I feel like it's so, gaslighting is like, I'm intentionally going like, why would you think that? I mean, you must be cheating.
Well, then they're crazy. If they don't know that it's a lie and they truly believe that it's true, then you're dealing with mental illness.
Yeah.
Like, there's no gray. I don't think there's a gray area there.
Yeah.
I think you're either like.
But there's no way to convince that person.
No.
What's the point of being mad at a person who's.
You can't tell someone who's mentally ill they're mentally ill. I mean, we couldn't walk over to Kanye and be like, hey, man, I think maybe you should open back up the bottle of medicine that you had that's a mood stabilizer. You can't. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. Yeah. You can't like have an intervention and convince someone who's having a manic episode that they're having a manic episode. I've been through that and it's wild.
Like Elizabeth Holmes just went to jail for 11 years, but the idea of like, do you think she actively knew every day she was lying or do you think she genuinely thought she was going to pull this off? I'm just like, the delusions of grandeur is a very real thing.
For what I know about it, she was probably, it was like an intentional kind of grift, right? Like, but I don't know.
Like I said to my, I went into a meeting with a giant comedy manager when I was 23, and I said, I'm going to be a successful stand-up comedian. At the time, it was a lie. Now it's true. Like, I didn't know it was going to be true at the time. Like, when we lie on our resume or when we fake it till we make it, it's like a lie until it's true.
I see what you're saying.
Like, if Anna Delvey had pulled it off, those wouldn't have been lies. So it's like,
but it's not a lie because there's no proof to the contrary. Because you said future tense.
Yeah.
I will be.
Yeah.
So it actually
is
as much true as it is false. If you had went in there and said, I am a successful comedian, then they would have went, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's my commission? No, you're not.
But we're in this weird time where it's like, this fake
mentally
it till you make
time.
It, manifest. I am getting this. I am going to do this. And it's like, it's a lie in 10 years. Well, you'll find out if it's the truth or a lie in like 10 years.
Right.
One of those.
Right.
Because I don't know how mad to be at her. Because I'm like, oh, if you had
who were we talking about?
The Anna Delvey girl or if homegirl Elizabeth.
Well, she intentionally was.
Swindling.
Yeah. She was intentionally imitating somebody she wasn't. She was intentionally pretending to be something she wasn't.
But how do you become someone you are if you don't lie on your resume a little bit? unless you have a trust fund. How is anyone supposed to get rich in this country if you don't lie and say you're already rich?
I can't.
Because no one will give money to someone who isn't already rich.
I can't dispute what you're saying. Are you asking, hey, do you got to be a little, you got to get your beak a little dirty in order to make a little scratch in this country? I'm going to say, yeah. Then that's the truth. Yes.
How else are you going to make it without a trust fund? Because no one will give a loan to someone that doesn't have a backup money, but then you can't get money if you don't lie and say you have it.
I know very few naive, very good people who are fucking loaded. I know very few people who are 100% fucking honest and beautiful.
Isn't every business person have to like lie? I mean, I definitely lied on my resume, but then it became true.
Right.
You know, I said I can do this way before I could.
So when you have your kid, essentially you will teach them like, hey.
So now he's like, okay, so I changed my mind. You should not be a mother.
Yeah, maybe I'm
so
wrong about
sorry.
That. Yeah. No, you would actually teach him. Hey, listen, you gotta, you know, if you're gonna play, you know, you're gonna going out in the world. It's not all roses. You're gonna be playing with some people. That's a little muddy, and you gotta learn how to be a little muddy.
Yeah,
and not lose yourself along the way.
I have these big dreams, and the whole thing now is women are supposed. Every woman has to be a CEO now. No one's allowed to just be a florist anymore. Like you have to be like the biggest girl boss at 24. But how am I gonna do that if I don't
lie a little bit?
Right. So I got into the wrong business for that. We have to tell the truth to make money. It's very annoying. But like in any other field, how could you possibly achieve anything if you don't lie a little bit?
I think you're making an interesting point. I can't dispute that. The evidence supports what you're saying. It supports what you're saying.
When see, this is the deepest emotional connection I can have. A man just going, "You're right." That was an emotional connection. I feel great about this.
So just look for a guy who just walks around and goes, "Whitney, you're right." when you go, should we get another 6 rescue animals and build a giraffe bedroom?
That is my love.
Get a husband who goes, "That's a great idea. How about we get 3 giraffes?" And you go, "I love you." That's who you're looking for.
Yes. So I need someone to marry just Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is truly.
Yeah. You just got to marry someone who just goes for it.
I know. I kind of feel like I want like a cowboy type.
It's tough. And when it's a tough thing because you go to Idaho, you go to Iowa, you're going to Missouri, you're going to Chicago, it's tough.
Why?
I mean,
you
got this beautiful house. You're probably here for like 6 hours a week, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you got some fucking Ukrainian refugee watching the place.
I really do. Yeah. I have like a.
I mean, I could come live here and you wouldn't know.
Correct.
Yeah, I could be here and
there's a couple comics.
Yeah,
that I think every now and then I'll just like find a pair of checkered Vans. I'm like, whose are these? I'm just looking for a sperm donor. And it's like you know what it is? It's like the Whitney uterus games. Like you have to fight.
TV
it's
show.
It's like I'm Helen of Troy. Right. You have to fight. If you can find me, you deserve to be the sire of my offspring. Because I don't want no weak motherfucker who's going to DM me on Bumble.
I don't want to interject here, but it does sound like you're facilitating a stalker. You're basically saying, if you weren't hard enough to find out where I live.
What is so wrong with a stalker? How much do you hate yourself that someone that wants to follow you around to shows, you're like, fuck this guy. Like, if someone's stalking me.
It's dedication.
I'm like, why? How self-loathing are we? Also, if you are not strong enough to fight off your own stalker, you don't deserve to be famous. Isn't it weird if someone follows us to every show, we think they're like, ugh, you like me? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, their like is always like really strong in like a scary way, in like a Jehovah's Witness.
Only us, we are so self-hating that if someone likes us, we're like, ah, crazy stalker. They must be mentally ill.
Right.
Who would want to watch me do comedy more than once? Like that is such a weird.
You're right. It shows dedication if someone can scale walls and kind of just show up and break
into
your house.
Yeah, I think if
someone breaks into your house.
A female comedian, that is a progressive radical feminist. Someone's like, I just want to hear Whitney Cummings yell about men again. I mean, that is a level of sick, dude. There, I'm like, I just need to take you in. You need a hug.
Right.
If you, like, this is on some, like, oh, God.
You would be the one who would marry your stalker. That would also be a funny show that, like, you just end up marrying your stalker.
I'm so fascinated by the people that like
and
me a lot.
Everyone else is freaked out by how into you he is, except you.
You know how many of my own stalkers that I have started stalking to the point to where LAFD is like, we're not telling you anything else. Because I'm just like, I'm fascinated by the kind of person who would do this. Like me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess maybe I've just been so trained by comics and comment sections to think that I'm like annoying and shrill and unlovable that when someone is into me in any capacity, I'm like, what's wrong with you, homie? Like, I'm fascinated by you. Like, you must really hate yourself.
Right. Of all the people, you chose me.
Yeah. Like, why me? It's just fascinating.
Yeah. I think that you would make them doubt their own stalking. They'd be like, maybe she's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, I'm like, how fucked up is your, like, okay, you didn't
Let
get breastfed, obviously.
Let me find out Taylor Tomlinson's schedule.
Yeah.
Because Whitney just made, yeah, she thought,
I'm not afraid of people that like me or in any capacity.
You find it flattering.
I mean, but
they're
it's
motivated.
Also, yeah, I mean, it's also like, also, who am I going to date? No one will, guys don't ask me out. Guys don't talk. Guys, if someone, to me, if I see someone that is undeterred, that is tenacious, that is like, here's the thing. If you're a younger guy and you see a girl on a podcast that you like and you're listening to her, you found out about her on Rogan, you're listening to her talk and you're like, I like her. We think alike. How is that less weird to then go to a show and ask her out? How is that less weird than seeing a girl across the bar that you just think is hot solely based on her tits and ass and face and go, hey, let's talk. And then she gets in your car. How is a stalker that has followed you less? How is that a more dangerous situation than getting in a car with a complete stranger that you met at Senior Frogs?
You know what? I know the argument you're making is wrong, but you're making a compelling argument.
Ow! Someone that knows nothing about me.
What you're really getting at is the strangeness of the phenomenon that the more somebody likes you, the scarier it is. And why is that?
But then someone that I don't know, I've spent 3 months pretending I'm a different person. Whereas if you've heard my podcast, you know exactly who I am. I can't hide shit from you.
Right.
And I already know that you're into the person that I really am. So you're not going to be disappointed in 3 months when the jig is up.
Right.
There's nothing to hide.
Right.
And I also know you like me for me. Why do
I like jumping in your life?
Why do men get to date their fans if they're comics, but if women do, it's weird?
It's not weird at all. I just because I don't know. I'm in the
because here's the situation right. I'm in. If you're not if you don't know me at all, you're not a comedy fan, and we're probably not going to get along.
Right.
If you are a comedy fan,
got it.
And don't know me that well, it probably just means you don't like me or don't think I'm funny.
Got it.
That's not going to work.
Got it.
Right?
Okay, now I'm understanding what's going on.
What's my option?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just trying to understand what's going on.
Someone that comes to a show, pays money to see a female comic talk, at the end of the show still thinks she's hot.
Right.
And is like, I'd like to take you for a drink. That's the only option I really have at this point.
Sounds like you really like him.
Am I wrong? Being a aging female comic, it's not about who I like and who I don't. You just have to narrow down what's possible. It's just like, what is possible at this point?
Tons are possible. You're funny, you're talented, you're good looking.
Yeah, but if someone has never heard of me, that means they're not a comedy fan, right?
Right.
Right? I'm not trying to be a narcissist.
If someone's never heard of you, yeah, probably.
They probably just aren't a comedy fan, they're not a podcast fan. We're probably already not going to get along.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Or you are a comedy fan and you don't know that much about me, that means you're not a fan. You like comedy, but not mine.
Right.
That's probably not going to go well.
Right.
Then what?
Marry a horse.
I would love to.
They got big dicks.
I would love to. You know, like, what are my options otherwise?
Right. No, I'm not critiquing. I'm not saying it's bad.
What am I supposed to do?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
My only other option is marrying a comic.
Okay, so, yeah. Okay, I get it.
What option do I have? Who am I going to date?
Who? Who you like.
But who? Name one person I could date. Name one. One.
See Thomas Howell.
Who's that?
He was an actor in Soul Man, and also
I can't date actors. I can't date men that wear makeup.
Okay.
Give me someone. Literally. Real pitch.
You can be a guma. You want to be a guma?
Who's that?
You don't know what a guma is?
No.
The girlfriend of a married guy who's Italian?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm going through a list
unless
here.
Unless the wife would. Yeah. No. 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 No.
You ever think about just.
I don't do
for cool points. Just going lesbo for a second.
I don't do other woman shit in a way that's like if a guy that's married flirts with me, I will like tell the like I'm like a.
I want to say a lot of guys, a lot of nice guys, you know. But you know,
great. They're not going to want to date me, or they're not going to have the balls, or they're going to. I don't know. They're just not going to want to sign up for this.
You're a lot of woman.
calling me fat?
No, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of person.
I also have a lot of
guys. It's not gender specific.
I also have a lot of comedian guy friends.
Yes.
So you're the fucking problem. But a lot of guys, I think. At midnight when Tim Dillon calls to complain about being kicked out of the Airbnb because he caused a hate crime in the comment section, I'm going to have to fucking answer,
right.
You know? So a lot of my friends are, it's kind of hard to date a guy. And also, half the guys that talk to me, I swear to God, 2 months in, they're like, so Rogan, like, do you go, like, I'm like, you just want hang out with Joe.
I get that too. It's very like, yeah.
Or you, then all of a sudden they want to start a podcast. All of a sudden they're a comedian and they're it's like, I don't know.
People really want to get to that guy. They're going like, I think I could be on the podcast. I'm like, what are you talking
about?
Are
you insane?
Are you crazy? Yeah.
You do not want this.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a bummer.
And also that a few of them thought that that was going to happen just because they had like a dog affinity.
Or like
page
guys that I date.
TikTok.
They'll should I come out? I'd love to meet Rogan. I'm like, I told him about you. He already thinks you're a pussy.
Right.
Like he does not want to meet you. I guarantee it's not happening.
Right.
I told him what you do. I told him what you're about. And he's makes fun of you. It's like an inside joke with all our friends.
I get what you're saying.
You're a female comic.
You're independent. I get it.
Yes.
It's a lot. You're on the road. Also,
Louis
your
J.
lifestyle.
Louis J. Gomez is talking about my pussy. Like,
right.
you have to be able to put up with that.
You have
that.
To be able to put up with all that stuff.
I have like a lot of guys around me that they're very close relationships, but it's like having a lot of brothers.
Yes.
But also, my best friends are statistically the funniest people in the world.
Right.
So if you say something that's pretty funny, I'll be like, that's funny.
Right.
I probably won't laugh.
Right.
Even if you're the funniest person to all your exes, you're probably not, you know.
Right. I see the challenge.
And I stopped fake laughing at men's jokes a long time ago.
Right.
Once I got syndicated, I didn't have to do it anymore.
Right. So just a crazy psychopath who doesn't need his stuff laughed at. Who's
a big fan of History Hyenas.
Big fan of Hyenas.
Big fan of Giannis Pappas.
Stalkerish.
But here's the other thing. I used to think it was weird when someone knew a lot about the comedy scene that I met because I was like, oh, you're like a fan of comedy? Like, ugh. But then I was like, no, I want to – I at least right now I enjoy talking to people that understand the our ecosystem or the subculture of us because I don't have to explain it and I don't feel like an asshole being like, oh, well, you know, because, you know – this guy, and they do this thing. So, like, then I feel weird.
Right.
Because I'm like, you're not a comedy fan.
Right. Right. So, you're at the point where now it's comedy fan time.
I'm just going to date my robot.
Yeah, you could do that, too. Yeah, you could do that, too. Well, that
and
makes...
And also, people don't ask me out.
Right.
They really don't. Like, Greek billionaires that run, like, pages about, like, money motivation sometimes do.
You know those
businessmen who are like five tips on how to make money while you sleep. It's like those type of guys
that are like, you know,
comment below and I'll give you $100,000.
Yeah, there's three types of men. Yeah.
Yes. And they have like 3 million followers for no reason. Like they bought all their followers.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't know what you are. You're trying to be like the money Tony Robbins guy.
Yeah, yeah. Five ways.
Delusional narcissist. Yeah. Five ways to make your crypto turn into millions.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
So you get a few of those guys.
Yeah. Or like, you know, morning routine.
Yeah.
This is my morning routine. It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like for butter in my coffee.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so you go.
I don't want to date a guy in ketosis.
Right.
I'm not.
How long have you been technically single?
20 minutes since the podcast started. No,
right.
It's not long.
Right.
Not long at all.
All right.
I need someone relentless, too.
Right.
Because I'm not calling you
back. Stalker. All the things you're saying point to stalker.
If I don't
relentless
text back,
into
if I don't text
comedy
back
fan.
In 6 hours and you haven't followed up, I'm just like, ugh.
Right.
I like a predator. I like a chase. I like an aggressive.
I mean, everything you are saying
I can only
perfectly describes a criminal stalker.
I can only come if it's a crime.
You need someone who's relentless.
Yeah.
Right.
That's hot to me. Won't take no for an answer.
Obsessively into you.
Mm-hmm.
Massive
comedy
fan. I don't
mean obsessively. I just mean there's this thing now, and I did it myself. Like, you know, in my, you know, 20s and early 30s, where it's like, I'll meet you at the restaurant and I'm going to pay half. And I'm gonna, and like, that all worked and I'm glad I did it. And whatever works for you, Godspeed. But I just know myself and I will accidentally emasculate a motherfucker like in my sleep. And I do not want to walk on eggshells because someone, but worrying that someone else is going to be emasculated.
Right. Because he's going like, you want to go to In-N-Out Burger? And you're going like, no.
I want someone who's solving problems before they become problems.
Right.
Someone that is just like, I'm going to anticipate, I'm going to make your life easier, and that's what I get off on. Because that's how I am in relationships, too.
Right. Yeah, I see. It's a challenge sometimes for women who are successful to find.
Maybe, or maybe not. I don't know. I think it's a challenge. I don't know. I think that it just doesn't occur to people to ask me out, or they don't think they can, or they think they have to be mean to me. Like, hey, you think you're so funny? Like, shit like that. And it's like, cool.
Right.
Guys try to be funny with me and it just ends up being mean, or they think they have to like put me in my place in a way that's like too rough, and they don't see the soft side of me that kind of just wants love.
Right.
I like a guy that'll just like choke me and then kiss me on the forehead. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You ever think about putting a list together and just sending it out? Like,
yeah, guys love that.
Yeah. Just going, these are the things that I need. Choke. Kiss in the forehead, relentlessness.
Man, you know what I also think? It might not be in someone here. Like, it could be an Italian guy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
What if your guy's in China?
A Saudi guy?
Yeah. What if he's a Chinese guy?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or like a Russian guy. They're very into the, you know, outback. Like, not the outback, you know, the wilderness. And what if you just go spend some time in like Argentina?
From Chile?
Yeah, maybe from Chile, like a minor.
Someone that like doesn't even know what I do for a living.
Has no clue.
But then when finds out, thinks it's cool.
No, just someone who has no idea who you are, but is just happy to get the green card.
I like a transactional relationship.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I need a baby and some jokes. You need citizenship. Let's do this.
Let's make it happen.
I like a business relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But I do think younger guys are very into like the impact of video games that a lot of people don't focus on is the fact that a lot of these guys that play a lot of video games, they are into that white knight shit. They want to be the hero. They're into the kink of the medieval traditional gender roles where it is your job to protect the damsel. And they want to come rescue the damsel in distress. And a lot of this shit, Call of Duty, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm sure there's negative impacts of video games. Like, show me the data. Let's talk. But, like, you know, it's a lot of, like, I want to protect. And I'm going to kill the bad guy and protect the good guys. And then in real life, they want to keep doing that, you know?
Right.
Like, I was hanging out with this guy that we were in a hotel gym, and there were all these glass, it was all glass walls of a hotel gym, and the other side was like a glass building, like a downtown.
Yeah.
And we walked into the gym, and he kind of like put his arms out in front of me, and he was like, this room is a tactical nightmare, is what he said.
Right.
And I was like, what? And he was like, well, someone could just shoot right through that into this. Like, there's no.
He learn that from Call of Duty or something?
Well, yeah, he just was, he just thinks in terms of like, how do I protect her from this, and there was something so hot about that.
Right. None of this sounds bad. None of this sounds bad. None of this sounds alarming. It sounds like the traditional things that people are looking for. A guy who knows where all the vulnerable points
gamer.
In a room. Yeah, someone who knows where the vulnerable points are in a room for attack.
Well, it is tricky because I'm like... Stop laughing your real laugh, Pat.
That was really funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like if someone tries hard enough, I usually get worn down.
Right. Relentlessness.
Yeah.
Seriously, who can judge? Yeah. I can't judge. I think I was just seeking clarification.
Remember when men used to, remember in the movies when men would show up at a woman's work when she was halfway through a speech?
Again, we're getting.
And he'd be like, I'm sorry, I cheated. And she'd be like, you know.
Yeah, but that's
okay,
the movies.
And he'd carry her out.
Yeah, it's the movies, though.
I want someone that's going to come in and be like, fuck this show.
Yeah.
You're with me.
Right. You want someone who comes in this room right now and just sprays whoever's in it and finds all the tactical vulnerabilities.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I want someone that is just...
A trained assassin.
I don't know. I think I've also never casually dated, so I'm trying to do that.
Ain't nothing
40
wrong
is
with
the
that.
Perfect time to start just casually dating.
40 is the new 39.
Nine.
40's young, dude. 40's young.
The arrogance that came with, the biological arrogance that came with me freezing my eggs. I'm just like, I got all the time in the world.
Yeah. Well, women, it's unfair, right? Isn't it unfair the way nature has it set up? It's a little unfair.
That's the thing. It's that very people talk unfair. About that. Biology is sexist.
It really is.
It just is.
It, you know, you can talk about all the equity you want, but when it comes to that, that can't be changed. It's like, guys, we just have mountains and mountains and mountains of surplus sperm for our whole lives.
Forever, dude. And Richard Gere has a 3-year-old. He's 74.
Yeah, it's just not
remember
fair.
When Clint Eastwood had a kid at 77.
Yeah, he's going to get to know his kid for like 3 days.
But also, isn't the connection between autism and old sperm? That seems to be the
I don't know.
Main connection to autism.
I don't know. There's a lot of autism out there, or a lot of people claiming to be autistic. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does seem to be on pervasive. The rise, yeah, pervasive.
I think that certainly in our field and our business, I'm not sure how ubiquitous it is other places.
I think it is kind of on the rise.
Yeah. It's something on the rise, or is it just being diagnosed more? I guess that's always the thing.
Right.
When they say, cancer is on the rise. Well, we didn't have a way to diagnose it in the 1800s. Were people dying of cancer and we just didn't know that's what it was?
Right. It's hard to know. It's hard to know what came first, chicken or the egg. You know,
someone has to have figured that out.
What comes first, the chicken or the egg?
No one's solved that yet.
This is the starting point. We've reached the starting point.
How have we not cracked that?
We've come full circle.
How have we not cracked that yet?
Pun intended. Crack the egg. How have we not cracked the egg?
I know what the pun was. Yeah, you didn't have to spell it out.
I just sometimes get concerned, you know?
All right. I love you madly. I'm so glad you did this.
Well, I love you dearly. Thank you for having me.
I love you. Thank you for doing this so last minute.
Yeah.
You're one of my favorite guests to have on.
And you're one of my favorite people.
Ditto.
Period.
Yeah. You're totally one of my favorite people.
Thank you.
Next time we'll do a big Greek night again.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And I love your new podcast is like, I love the clips that you're posting.
Thank you. Yeah, Long Days with Yiannis Pappas. And watch my special if you haven't, Mom Love. It's
yes.
On YouTube. It's on YouTube.
It's brilliant.
It's free.
Not emotionally.
No.
Don't ride elephants.
It's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now's the time to get 2 for $3.99. Mix and match a 4-piece McNuggets, a McDouble, a McChicken, or a hot and spicy McChicken. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.